We have spoke to you so many times from the book of Revelation, and I feel that many of you have gotten something from the readings from the book of Revelation. I don't know of anything that is more outstanding than the writings that's found in the book of Revelation. John the Divine, a man that was filled with love and one to whom God entrusted the magnificence of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he wrote this book. It's wonderful to find favor with God. How many of you agree that it's wonderful to find favor with God? It's wonderful to find favor with God. He that findeth favor with God shall continue to live. But he that doth not find favor with God, he will perish. Reading in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I've read this chapter numbers of times. Let's start at the 10th verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now, when we think about Satan, a lot of times people get scared unless they have Christ, because they know the power of Satan. But I've tried to impress upon you, the listener, the thought that the devil doesn't have any power over a Christian. Not that the devil doesn't have any power. He does have power. But only to those that will believe him in the power through their unbelief. For Jesus overthrew the kingdom of Satan at Calvary. He overthrew the kingdom of Satan, and he completely done away with the power and the authority that Lucifer had. How many of you believe that Jesus did that? The scriptures substantiate the fact that he did. And today, as a Christian, we should have no fear at all of the powers of Lucifer. We should not be taken into captivity with any fear of the powers of Satan. The Bible teaches that the children of this world are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. But we are not to be taken into captivity with fear. All of our lives we were subject to bondage because of fear, Paul tells us. All of our lives we were subject to bondage. Did you know, as long as you fear, the Bible teaches that he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And you are subject to bondage as long as you allow a spirit of fear to come around. It might be a spirit of fear of death. It could be a spirit a fear of sickness. It could be a spirit, a fear of poverty. But you are subject to bondage as long as fear is present with you. But the Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he hath given us power, and he hath given us a sound mind in Christ Jesus. So then we don't have to fear, because we do not have the spirit of fear. The world is in bondage to fear. But I am not in bondage to fear. Are you in bondage to fear? You should never be in bondage to fear, because there is no fear for them that walk upright in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that people are found in the Holy Scripture here. It speaks of them. And there were they found in great fear where there was no fear. Did you know the church world today is found with great fear, when really there is no fear? Because what is there that I should be afraid of? Should I be afraid of mortal man when mortal man can do nothing to me except Christ allow him to do it? Should I be afraid of my creditors? Should I be afraid of people? Should I be afraid of murderers and thieves and robbers when they can do nothing to me unless God allows them to do it? The Bible tells me that if my ways please God, he maketh mine enemies to be at peace with me. So then I am free from fear. I don't have to worry about fear because fear hath no power over me. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If God has not given us the spirit of fear, then where does fear come from? It comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Therefore, we know that fear has to come from Satan. If God has not given it to us, then it has to come from somewhere. A lot of people are afraid of insanity. They have a fear. But the Bible said God has given them the power of a sound mind. Why should they be afraid? They're afraid that they'll die with some dreadful disease. But why should they be afraid of that? Well, the Bible tells us that God delivered the righteous out of all of their afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The devil sees to that. But God delivered them out of all of their afflictions. So then at Calvary we find that God has defeated Satan. The kingdom of Satan has been overthrown. Jesus witnessed and testified saying that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. I have all power in heaven and in earth. It is given unto me. Lucifer has no more authority. He hath no more power. He hath no more ability to interfere with the kingdom of God unless we walk and dwell in unbelief. And so then it is a wonderful thing to know that we are totally, completely free from fear. When I stand before you tonight, I stand as a fearless man. Not because I consider myself brave, not because I consider myself to be somebody spiritual, but simply because I believe the word of God. The Bible said, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I stand before you as one that is fearless because I do not have any fear. And that's the truth from the bottom of my heart. I have no fear. I do not fear storms. I do not fear people. I do not fear animals. I do not fear anything. I do not fear sickness. I do not fear poverty. I believe what God has said about it. And as long as I continue to believe what God has said about it, then I'll have no fear. I've had all kind of problems in life. I've been faced with violence. I have been on the mountaintops when my car in the snow would be ready to go off of the embankment with just another spin. But by faith in God, the Lord kept fear out. I've been in automobiles more than one time when they would roll over and leave the highway and roll down in the fields and flip over and flip back up on the wheels. I've been in them when they would go off into the creek head first. I've been in them when they would smash into one another. But God has blessed me that he has kept me from fear. At the moment of the crisis, God kept me. God is able to keep you. And I have seen times when my body looked like I would literally rot, die. Things happened to me to where I was so weak I could not hardly go. But God kept fear out of my life. And by faith, I took hold of the word of God. I wrestled and prevailed because I refused to fear. I have had people to come after me with guns and knives and everything else. But God kept me from fear. And God delivered me. I've been confronted by the law. I've been confronted by all kind of great indebtedness. I've been confronted by huge amounts of money that I had to have. I've been confronted by everything seemingly. But God has kept me from fear. I've been confronted by tornadoes and storms and all kind of things. But God kept me from fear. And today I can testify of a truth that I do not fear. The Lord is my shepherd. Whom then shall I fear? He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod, His staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over, David said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, Lord, I ask one thing of you, and that is that I might abide in the house of God forever. And then he testified in faith and confidence in the word, saying, surely I shall abide in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. We say, Lord, give me such and such. And then we say, Lord, I thank you for that which I have asked you for. That's the way it ought to be. If we do not have that kind of confidence, if we do not have that kind of faith, then we are coming short in the things of God, my Christian friend. All right. So then Satan lost his power at Calvary. Do you agree to that? He has no more power and authority over us. He lost his power and his authority. And today, I am free from the powers of Satan. I am free from the powers and evils of Satan. I am free from that which Satan would desire to do to me. As Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to sift thee just as sand or wheat. But I am free from that. Why am I free from that? Because I believe that I am free from that. You are free from that if you can believe that you are free from that. But if you cannot believe God's word, then the Bible tells us it is impossible to receive the things of God. It is impossible to please God unless you have faith in God. The thing that pleased God concerning Enoch was that he had faith in God. And the Bible said Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God. Enoch believed God, and the Bible tells us that he was not, for God took him. He was translated by faith because he believed in God. And when we believe in God, then we are translated from all of the turbulence of life into the marvelous kingdom of God, and we do not have to fear. Who then should I fear? David said. David said, I have run through a troop. I have leaped over a wall. When time came to battle, he was a courageous king. He never drawed back. He picked up his sword. He placed his sword in his sheath. He did not go out to battle as one that was courageous and fearless in the sense of a human being. But he told the giant, he told the alien powers, he said, you come to me with a sword and with all of this, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Every battle David won, victorious, because he did not trust in his strength, he did not trust in his courage, but he trusted in God. Amen. That's what I want to do, is trust in God. I want to trust in God. Whatever I do through life, I want to do it in the name of Jesus. I want to do it by the power of Jesus. I don't like to hear my comrades come to me and say, Brother Pike, I can't do this and I can't do that, because I don't believe in that. I don't believe that. The Bible said I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do anything in the name of Jesus Christ. Who are you to say you can't do something when God says it can be done? The Bible said all things are possible to them that believe. If you are a believer, then all things are possible to you. Don't ever say that you can't do it. Don't ever take the outlook you can't do it. Say, through Christ Jesus that strengthens me, I can do all things. And friend, you can, through Christ that strengthens you. If you've got a sickness, you can overcome it. You might say, Brother Pike, I've got cancer and there's no way to overcome it. By faith in God, my friend, you can overcome it. You will be shocked at the things that will happen to you if you'll take courage. If you've got poverty and you can't seem to meet your bills, if you'll take faith in God, I promise you in the name of Jesus that you'll overcome it and you'll find yourself victorious in God. It doesn't matter what your deficiencies are. God is the answer to your problem. I like that, don't you? I believe in a Christian life. I believe that we should live holy, righteous, pure, soberly in this present world. I believe that we should leave off anything that would harm our bodies, and that we are the temples of the living God. I feel that we should withdraw from worldliness and all of the things out there that's unlike Jesus in the world. There are so many lovely things to do in the world, so many great things that you can do in the world that is holy and pure. and things that God has ordained that we have pleasure in. But my friend, in the pleasures of the world, God hath no pleasure. When you turn to the things of the world, God will disfellowship you. And when you turn to the corruption of the flesh, the Bible said, he that soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I want everlasting life, don't you? He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I want to sow to the Spirit. I am free from the kingdom of Satan. I am not bound by the evils and fears of Satan. I am free. He that the Son hath made free, he is free indeed. Indeed means to do what you want to do. I am free. I am not in a prison. I do not feel that I am in a prison. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge and the judge to the jailer, and you not come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. But I want you to know that I am not in a prison. I am free. God hath made me free. I'm not in a prison today. I'm not serving a prison term of fear and frustration. I am free. I am happy in God. And I am enthused in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a radiance of hope. I'm illuminated with his presence. And there's a radiance of hope that's so great that the darkness of this world cannot overthrow it. It cannot quench this great light. God has quenched my thirst for the things of the world. Come and drink from this fountain. Hallelujah. What a fountain. The Bible said, let whosoever will come and drink from this fountain. Come and drink from this fountain. Hallelujah. There is open today in the house of David a fountain, an everlasting fountain, where the waters of life are freely flowing. Hallelujah. And you don't have to be afraid. You can believe in God, and God will do something for you. Satan's kingdom is gone. It has been cast down. It has been overthrown. Today, we are people that are free from the kingdom of Satan. If you cannot believe that, then you're not free. Who are those that are free from the powers of Satan? They that believe that they are free. You say, Brother Pike, just anybody can say I'm free and believe I'm free and be free. No. Just anybody can believe the Word of God if they really believe the Word of God and be free. Because the Word of God says that you're free. Not because you think you're free. You can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe you're free when you're bound. You can believe everything's all right when you're fixing to die the next minute. But everyone that comes to the fountain and drinks of the waters of life, everyone that believes the Word of God, everyone that's willing to entrust their souls and their lives to Christ can be free from the powers and evils of Satan. You can be a great power in God, a great Victorian in God. You can be loose from the things of this world. Did you know that people who are bound to the frolics of this world and the lust and lustful desires of this world, did you know that they are in prison and they are in bondage? Do you know that Paul teaches in the Word of God that by which a man is overcome, he is a slave to that thing? Whatever it might be, he is a slave to it. But you don't have to be a slave to it. You don't have to be in bondage to it. You can be free. You can be free. Paul told him over there in one of his writings, one of his epistles, he said, look at me. All of these things don't affect me, said. There's none of this that affects me. It doesn't move me, Paul said. So he said, you can be free. You can be free from those things. You don't have to be in bondage. If we are free from the kingdom of Satan, then why should we fear? Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Hallelujah. There would be no reason. If you fear, there's positive proof that you've not accepted your pardon in God. You should accept your pardon in God, my friend. Isn't that right? You must accept your freedom in God. There will be many people that will die and perish in the flames because they refuse to acknowledge God's word and to accept their pardon in Christ. Many people will do that. But I want to accept my pardon in God. He said, I'm free. I am free. I say again, it doesn't matter what Brother Pike thinks about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what the businessman thinks about it. It doesn't matter what the doctor thinks about it or the educators of the world think about it. God's word said, I am free. And brother, I am free. Forever I am free. It doesn't matter what I think about it. If the Bible said I'm free from sickness, then I am free from sickness. You say, but what about all those pains, Brother Pike, that people feel in their body? That doesn't have anything to do with it. What's pains got to do with the Word of God? Hallelujah. You say, but what about all of those oppressions that I feel? What about those contrary winds of thoughts that's blowing through my mind like a hurricane? That has nothing to do with it. See, what does that have to do with it? What I think about it, what's that got to do with it? How my body feels, what's that got to do with it? The Word of God said it. Don't you believe the Word of God? The Bible said God spoke and the world came into existence. The Bible teaches that God spoke you into existence. God spoke the stars and the moon into existence. God's Word did it. Hallelujah. And if God's Word said it, then I'm free. Why? Because His Word said it. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. Glory to God, He delivered me from sickness. He delivered me from poverty. He delivered me from heartaches and troubles. He delivered me from my enemies. I am free in Christ tonight because God did it. Who is God? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. It came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of this Word as the only begotten of the Son of God, filled with grace and filled with truth. Think about that, full of grace. Coming to Brother Taylor and saying, Brother Taylor, there's enough grace for you. Brother Lyman, there is enough grace for you. Brother Pike, there's enough grace for you. And folks, there's enough grace for you. Hallelujah. Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the waters of life freely. There is grace and abundance for your asking, for your believing. The words that's full of grace and full of truth. The word of grace, there is enough grace for you. The words of truth, Brother Pike, there is enough truth for you. There is enough truth for you, Brother Fontaine. There is enough truth for the world. Hallelujah. There is enough truth. The words of grace and the words of truth. What has this got to do with it? The words of grace. We understand that part. But what has it got to do with when you say the words of truth? For Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Tonight I know the truth and I'm free tonight because I know the truth. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? You know the truth. I know the truth tonight that Christ overthrew the kingdom of Satan back at Calvary. He took away his power. I'm free today from the evils of Satan. The truth tells me so. I have faith in the truth tonight. I have faith in the truth tonight. His words are truth. They are filled with glory and with grace. What a wonderful thought. Filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there, the song says. Truth, words of truth. Words of inspiration. Words of joy, abundance of living. Hallelujah. So the world can have it. That's what I want. To tell the world about Jesus. The joy of Christian living. The way that I've been able to overcome by the glory of my Savior. See, friend, it's not what you do. That has nothing to do with it. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if I had not stumbled, if I had not staggered, then I could have confidence in what you're talking about tonight. But Christian friend, tell me again, what does that have to do with it? How many times you stumble, what does that have to do with it? God didn't give me a promise saying if you don't stumble. That wasn't God's promise. What's that got to do with it? When God said, let there be light, and there was light. Brother, nothing could stop it because God's word said it. All of the mistakes and the stumbling and the staggering, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Because God's word said it, it has to be. So then take courage. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm weak. If I wasn't so weak in faith, then I could make it. What does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with it? You say, I'm weak, Brother Pike. But the Bible said, let the weak say that I am strong. Isn't that right? So then what does that have to do with it? Just say, weak or not weak, by the faith of God's word, I am strong. It's not a matter of what I've done, God. It's not a matter of me stumbling and staggering. God, you promised in your word. You finished the works at Calvary. At Calvary, I am free because the works was finished from the foundation of the world. And here it was, they were looking on Peter. Peter had to change the thing around a little bit now. He said, look on us. So they started looking on Peter. And then all of a sudden, Peter, he perhaps got a little bit nervous. And he said, wait a minute. Don't look on me as though I've done this thing. He said, it's by his faith. Whose faith? Christ Jesus' faith. And it's by his faith that he stands here whole and healthy before you. By the faith of Christ. Peter had manifested the faith of Christ. The man's faith had made him whole to the faith of Jesus Christ. Being crippled didn't have anything to do with it. Why? Because the Bible said he sent his word and healed him. If God sent his word and healed him, then they were healed. Isn't that right? Peter knew that it wasn't a matter of him doing anything. God said that the man was healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. The man gave heed expecting. Hallelujah. He was expecting to receive something. You know, that's where the problem is today. A lot of times we pray to God, but we're not expecting to receive anything. We go down in routine to be prayed for, but we're not expecting to receive anything. We come to the house of God and we come in here green like a lemon. We come here and we sit down in church not expecting to receive anything. That's where we miss out with God. The Bible said when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Expect to receive something. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I cannot pay my bills. You know why? Because you do not expect to pay your bills. There's a deep embedded expectation that things is going wrong for you. There's a deep embedded expectation that something's going to happen to your loved ones. There's a deep embedded expectation of failure through life. There's a deep expectation on the inside that keeps you constantly expecting calamity and disorders all the days of your life. And you know why that it's like that? It is simply because you are under condemnation. You are not praying and seeking God. You're not making your life conform to the words and ways of God. You're not pressing in and trying to do something for Christ. And because of this, condemnation is driving you out of your mind. But brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you something. Let me expound the word to you today and tell you something that will help you. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to expect something from God. When you expect something from God, you're going to get it. When you start expecting something from God, you're going to get it. But you're going to have to expect something from God. When you begin to press in like the little woman to touch the hem of his garment, you're going to get something from God. Did you know the Bible said that though all of them pushed her away, though all of them crowded her out, yet she believed that God had something for her. She knew that she was dying. She knew that she should have help. You would say, but Brother Pike, why didn't she go to the doctor? The Bible said she had suffered many things of physicians, but was none the better, but rather grew worse. She had spent all of her living on the physicians, but they had done her no good. She knew that she had to have some help. You understand what I'm saying? She knew there had to be a means of relief. And when she got to the press and she got to the crowd, what she did, the Bible said that she pressed in toward Christ. She kept saying in her heart, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She had an expectation. She said, if I can just get in a little closer, if I can get past the press and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the Bible said she pressed away in. She pressed away into the crowd. She kept pressing. And after a while, she got close enough that she could break through. And the Bible said she touched the hem of his garment. And I believe in my heart, the minute that her little hands touched the hem of his garment, that inside of her, she cried out, glory to God, I've done it! I've touched the hem of his garment! I've been made whole! And the Holy Ghost swept down, the Holy Spirit filled her being. And the Bible said she felt in her body she was healed. Jesus stopped. Oh my, what a sight. Think about that. The Son of the living God, Prince Charming himself, walking down the street, and all of a sudden he stopped. He stopped. I just visualize him in my mind as he stopped and he looked around. He looked around, you know, very slowly. He looked around and he said, something happened. Peter and him probably said, what is it, Lord? And he just stood there maybe for a minute. He said, something happened. He said, somebody touched me. Peter said, somebody touched you. Simon said, somebody touched you. They probably looked at the hundreds and thousands and said, somebody touched him. Oh, man. As long as he'd been along here, they've been about to mash him like a sardine. Why, he's been so congested, it must have been hundreds of people that touched him. They said, Lord, a lot of people touched you. He said, somebody touched me, Peter. John and James, somebody touched me. Hallelujah. That wasn't Jesus talking. That was the Heavenly Father talking. The voice of God. That somebody touched me. They didn't touch Jesus. Hundreds of people was touching Jesus. But faith in God touched that great light into which no man can approach. God proclaimed through the mouth of his prophet Jesus, his son, said, somebody touch me. And Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of my body. I felt virtue go out of my body. And the little woman got nervous. And the Bible said she began to tremble and she came to Jesus. She knew that she was discovered. Oh, she knew that she was discovered. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike, why would she be nervous? Because, see, according to the law, she was to be stoned. Coming in there in an unclean way. Coming in the midst of those people and all. Like that. See, she wasn't supposed to be there just like lepers or anything else. Supposed to stay away. Isn't that right? The issue of the blood in the Old Testament was an uncleanliness. Isn't that right? The woman couldn't even come to her husband. She come trembling because she knew the master had found her out. And as she come in there, she said, Lord, it was me. Jesus told her, said, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Boy, I'll tell you what, I got a feeling. You know that song I wrote, then the crowd heard the shout. Sweet Jesus, you're the one. Hallelujah! And then 10,000 times, 10,000 of praises ring out to God's only Son. Jesus said, go thy way in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So then, circumstances had nothing to do with it. The doctor's reports had nothing to do with it. The failure to be healed by medical aid had nothing to do with it. My brothers and sisters, she took courage. And she turned to faith in the direction of Christ Jesus. And she said, I am not going to give up. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And I believe that God will heal me when I do it. And she did. And she was healed. Why should I then fear? Why should I then be afraid? Is not Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Did not He say in His Word that He sent His Word and healed them? Is not the Word of God, which is God from the beginning, the same to every generation, yesterday, today, and forever? Isn't the Word of God the creative power that spoke the world into existence? Isn't that right? By His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. There is an unclean spirit in you. The Bible said, by His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. By His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. You don't have to take an old spirit of lust, resentment, fault-finding, jealousy, covetousness, lust of the world. You don't have to do it. Spirits of infirmity, you don't have to bear those. Jesus bore them at Calvary for you. You escape the curse, because cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Hallelujah. The serpent was hanged on the tree in the wilderness. They were healed. The serpent, the brazen serpent, was hanged on the cross, the tree, over in at Calvary. You were healed. Is that right? Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. But we are free from the curse. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right, I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your courtesy and kindness tonight. And I pray that you'll take my words, which are not my words, but His words. The Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And I pray that you'll take my words tonight. Use them and utilize them to your advantage tonight. And God will do something for you such as you've never had done for you in all the days of your life. Now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift up your hands. While they're playing on the instruments, I want to take just a minute or two, and I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hands up, Christian friend. God is a deliverer. God is a healer. God will deliver you tonight. I'm reminded tonight of the trip to Central America, where we went into the village that the paper stated was possessed by the devil. And how that we prayed the prayer of faith. And within a day or two, the papers again was published and stated that the village was free of the devil. That those that had been possessed was free. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those people simply believed. Simple believing people. They believed. Can't we believe tonight? Can't we believe? The preparation of man's heart is from God. God has prepared all men's hearts alike. Let's believe tonight. If you need salvation, can't you believe? The Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible teaches that we shall be saved. Can we call upon the name of the Lord? Can we actually call upon the name of the Lord? Can we, Christian friend? Can we call upon the name of the Lord? We can. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. God is no respected person. He will free you from your sins if you will believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And so then tonight, as I pray, if you have need of salvation, I want you to call on the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, when you pray, believe. Take God's promise. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and the word of promise is nigh unto you tonight as the minister speaks to you. Faith by hearing of the word, from the preaching of the word. If thou canst believe tonight, all things are possible to them that believe. And I want you to believe as I pray. I want you to believe. I'm going to pray earnestly, sincerely. The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God hath made us righteous by his holy blood. As I pray tonight, I want you to believe, because I'm going to pray tonight for you. That God will save your soul and God will heal your body. That God will deliver you from sickness and infirm spirits. Can you believe tonight? Can you believe tonight? Let's lift our hands together as we pray. Father of heaven, tonight, as I look out over this audience, I pray tonight, Jesus, that by your great power, by your great word tonight, that people would be healed, Jesus, that they should be delivered. Holy Father, that they should be healed. May they be healed tonight. May you heal the people tonight, Jesus. May you deliver the people tonight. May the infirm spirits be broke off of them. And they find a deliverance tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed. Father, relieve those tonight that's in great despair and despondency. Those that are yearning for faith and assistance tonight to help them to recover from the snares of Satan, to help them overcome sickness, to help them hear from their loved ones that might have drifted away. I pray for the healing of these bodies tonight, for the deliverance of these bodies tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Deliver the people. Heal the people. Make the people whole, Jesus. Unite us together in a great and mighty move of God. I ask of thee to do it. Lord, reach throughout the world tonight. The lovely name of Jesus, and heal and save and deliver for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord be with you tonight and help you. The Bible speaks of the minister saying, whosoever you bless shall be blessed. Whosoever you curse shall be cursed. Tonight, if you can believe, if you will believe, accept the word of God, then I bless you in the name of the Lord tonight. I bless you tonight in the name of the Lord. I have the power to bless tonight. I have the power to curse tonight. The Bible said, whosoever sins I remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins I retain shall be retained. Whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So in the name of the Lord tonight, I bless you. Hallelujah. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.